Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Monday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us today. A lot to get to on this Monday coming out of the weekend, and glad to get back in this daily routine with you at 11 o'clock each day, the replay at 3 p.m. each day, and of course our podcast of the Hoosier Report available on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And also the Apple Podcast app. I know a lot of you guys listen to probably multiple podcasts about IU basketball and other things you're interested in. It's a great way to connect with the Hoosier Report as well. We'd appreciate it if you'd subscribe and leave us a rating and a review. It'll help us connect with others that might be interested in our radio show and our podcast. Again, thanks for being with us today. A lot to get to, so let's jump right in and talk about what we've got today. The guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. The first segment, lots of notes to get to here in the Hoosier Headlines segments, which is how we open the program each day. Some stuff on Bob Knight. Of course, I expect that to be a familiar topic here on the program now that Coach Knight is moving or has moved back to the Bloomington community. Also, John Rothstein of CBS Sports, who is one of my favorite national college basketball analysts out there. He kind of went on a Twitter storm earlier today for the Big Ten Conference. I assume he's going to do it for every conference, but he's got a lot of interesting stuff, his projection for Player of the Year, his power rankings in the offseason for the Big Ten Conference, impact freshmen, impact transfers, sleeper predictions as well. It's one man's prediction, but he's a guy that I like and respect, and it's in the middle of July. So it's July 15th, still squarely in the middle of July. So if we're going to talk some basketball, we're going to have to look ahead and at things like that. And I find it interesting where some of these guys put IU, where they put the Big Ten Conference, and what their thoughts are on the upcoming season. And then it's always fun to look back, and I know nobody ever remembers to do so, but check these guys on their predictions. Not that you would expect them to be right on everything, but, they cover it. Maybe they'll get close. Maybe they've got a pretty accurate read. They definitely probably know more insight than what most fans do, and maybe what some of us do as well. So, he's the kind of guy, he's going to be in practices leading up to the season. He talks to the college coaches on a regular basis. So we'll take a look at John Rothstein and a lot of tidbits that he tweeted out earlier today about the Big Ten Conference and more in the first segment, our Hoosier Headlines segment. Then later in the program, Zach Osterman is with us. Zach is the IU insider for the Indianapolis Star. He was on the road at some recruiting activities over the weekend. He was at the Adidas event down south, so we'll talk with him about that. There was a big, obviously, impact there by the IU coaches because there were a number of players, including in-state guys, that Indiana was interested at that event, and also the Nike Peach Jam as well. So we'll talk about both events. We'll talk recruiting with Zach as he comes off of the road, and we're going to get into a little football. I said we were last week with Zach. We didn't make it that far, but we will this week. So stay with us for Zach Osterman coming up a little later in the program. Also later today, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSAA Executive Board Member. He's always with me on Mondays. Had a couple weeks off, vacation and maybe an illness, and we couldn't hook up last week. We had another guest that only could come on at that time. So glad to have Chad back with us today. He is getting ready to start another school year as the AD at Charlestown, and there's never a lack of things to talk about with local stuff, including Southern Indiana basketball. So we'll cover that stuff and more with Chad when he's with us a little bit later in the program today. That's the guest lineup. It's service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. All right, let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And this surprised me a little bit. Archie Miller will speak in Evansville in August. It's going to be part of the Shoulders Family Lecture Series at Evansville Harrison High School. The actual date is Tuesday, August 27th. It's free and open to the public. It begins at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Doors open at 5:30 Central Time. The Shoulders Family Lecture Series is held in the Shoulders Family Pavilion. It's at Evansville Harrison High School, obviously, and it's after named after the family of Evansville native and attorney Pat Shoulders, who's a member of the IU Board of Trustees. I find it interesting because Archie Miller really doesn't do a ton of speaking engagements. He doesn't do a ton of press conferences. Not that other coaches in the middle of the summer are calling press conferences and having summer basketball updates on a regular basis. They're not. But I think if you ask people that cover not just Indiana, but cover maybe the Big Ten or cover this stuff a lot closer from a national perspective, Indiana not real open. Not that it's a bad thing, but unless there's a reason to have a press conference, a major reason at times, unless it's after a game, you don't always get to hear from Archie Miller. Speaking engagements, there used to be some more IU varsity tour stops, like what is up at Huber's. A lot of those, I think most of those, all of those, I think, except for the Huber's stop, has went away. So you don't get a lot of regular speaking opportunities to hear from the coach, especially in the offseason. And again, I think it's really cool. He's down in Evansville, a different part of the state, a different part of Southern Indiana. And I would predict that there would be a good crowd come out, especially with it being a free event at Evansville Harrison High School. So that'll be cool. I'm sure we'll get some stuff from that next month, just over a month from now when he speaks at Evansville Harrison. And again, an off-season opportunity to hear what Archie Miller, the IU basketball coach, has to say. I would be very surprised if it's not well attended. So that'll be fun to follow next month. Also, NBA Summer League action is beginning to wrap up out in Las Vegas. A little bit of the thunder stolen away from things when Zion Williamson was pulled. Mainly, it sounded like, for precautionary reasons. But still, a very fun Summer League. And, of course, some of the excitement as well for us locally. For you, probably, Romeo Langford not playing for the Celtics Summer League team. They did go on to have a very good Summer League. They were undefeated through the week of regular season play, 4-0 as they entered bracket play, and then they got beat by Memphis, who is now in the championship game, which is played later tonight. I thought this Celtics team was the one seed. I thought they were red hot, playing really well. Carson Edwards was playing great. Some of the other new guys were playing really good. And I felt like they had a chance to win it. I just kept telling myself, gosh, if Romeo was with them, how fun would it be to see a Summer League team 4-0? Maybe they can win the summer tournament. It's obviously not a big deal, but it would be fun to follow. Instead, they get upset in the first game. And it worked really. Memphis is a good team. Obviously, they've went on. They've got some young players as well. They've went on to make it to the championship game tonight. So Boston goes out early. No Romeo Langford from start to finish, as a lot of us thought. I know there was disappointment over that. The next chance to kind of see him really in a game situation will likely be an NBA preseason game. So we'll see. You know, hopefully by that point, there's a lot of time, some time between now and then, not as much time as there is between now and the college basketball season. So that is forthcoming, no question about that. But really, there is going to be some time until we will see Romeo Langford on the court. And there'll be some preseason camp stuff, and there'll be some media stuff, no question about it. But it'll get a little more quieter, I would think, as far as Romeo goes and his recovery goes, and getting an opportunity to see him at summer league practices with, you know, ping pong paddle attached to his hand. I don't think you'll have as many opportunities, or will have as many opportunities, to get an inside look at what's going on, as there will be no more summer league practices. There'll be some media opportunities along the way, but again, summer league basketball for the NBA side of things coming to a close. With that, I do want to mention Juwan Morgan. His Utah Jazz team goes out yesterday, eliminated from the tournament, but he had a nice close. He had 8 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 2 assists in the game for his Utah Jazz team. So a nice close to the summer league play for Juwan Morgan. You know, there were games where he wasn't getting a lot of minutes. He wasn't getting a lot of time. So to see him close things out strong yesterday, definitely a good sign for Juwan Morgan. And now we'll have to see what happens as far as his NBA future goes. And will it be with the Utah Jazz? Will he get an opportunity with the Jazz? Will he be a G League player with the Jazz? Or maybe will he go somewhere else? It will be interesting to follow. But good to see him close things out strong in Las Vegas. Couple Bob Knight notes. Gil Brandt, a former football coach. Actually, I think he was VP of player personnel from the Cowboys for many years back in the 70s and 80s. He also hosts an NFL show on Sirius XM radio. He tweeted out over the weekend, quote, "Talk to Bob Knight today. He seems happier about moving back to Bloomington than starting his fishing trip to British Columbia, which is a very good sign. He just bought a house a couple miles from the campus. Happy to hear his enthusiasm for the move." That was followed up by a note from Dick Vitale, who said or tweeted, quote, "Just spoke with the General Robert Montgomery Knight, and he is excited about moving to Bloomington to share time with many of his Hoosier friends. Sounded great and was looking forward to a fishing expedition with his son, Patrick, and British Columbia." So a couple things here. Obviously, he's back in Bloomington. As I said, I think we're going to hear his name a lot more. This move has kind of sparked people to maybe touch base, to talk with him for a minute, to tweet about him a little bit more. We find out more about him. There have been concerns about health and this and that, and obviously he's aging. That there's no argument of that. We don't know the specifics of his health situation, but I think it's great to hear from both Dick Vitale and Gil Brandt when they talk with him that he mentions an upcoming fishing trip to British Columbia in Canada with his son. So if he's making a trip like that, obviously he is healthy enough to make an appearance in Assembly Hall maybe a couple, 2, 3, 4 months down the road. I guess I have my fingers crossed that happens, and I think a lot of you guys probably do as well. Okay, Big Ten notes that I promised John Rothstein of CBS Sports. You can follow him at John Rothstein on Twitter. 10 under-the-radar freshmen. These were in no particular order. He had Jerome Hunter of Indiana. Of course, he's a redshirt freshman listed. I don't think there's any surprise there. He also had Brandon Newman, who played high school basketball at Valpo and will be at Purdue next season as well. But I tell you, Jerome Hunter, man, if he can find a way healthy to the back to the lineup next year and get close to 100%, get his conditioning back, he's somebody that I don't always think about and think about being active and on the roster when I think about IU for next season. But, boy, there could be some excitement if he's able to make a healthy return to the Hoosiers for next year. Rothstein also tweeted out 10 impact freshmen. Again, none of this was in any particular order. Trace Jackson Davis of IU on the list. In fact, he was the first player that he had listed. And, again, I think everybody knows Trace Jackson Davis is going to have a big role for this team next year. He had his player of the year, Cassius Winston, preseason player of the year, Michigan State, no surprise, no argument there. Big Ten preseason sleeper, new coach, a ton of turnover, a ton of new personnel. Nebraska is who Rothstein selected as his Big Ten preseason sleeper. His off-season power rankings, he has Indiana 10th in the Big Ten Conference, and I don't know how you feel about that. I could see an argument for them to be a smidge higher. I could also understand the number 10 spot. We're going to talk about that some today with Zach Osterman when he's with us later in the program. But just to give you a rundown, from 14 up, Northwestern at 14th, Minnesota 13th, Nebraska 12th, Rutgers at 11, Indiana, I mentioned at 10, Michigan is at number 9, Iowa at number 8, Illinois number 7, Wisconsin 6th, Penn State 5th, Ohio State 4th, Purdue 3rd, Maryland 2nd, and Michigan State number 1 in John Rothstein's offseason Big Ten power rankings. Also, top 10 breakout players. He had Rob Phinisee on there of Indiana, so that's good. I thought Rob had a great freshman year last year, got lots of opportunities, and will be a very seasoned player as a sophomore for this Indiana team. And then he also did top 10 impact transfers. No order in these. He had Joey Brunk coming from Butler to Indiana as one of the top 10 offseason transfers. He'll be leader, vocal for this team. And most importantly, when I think about Joey Brunk, he has 2 years, not 1 year, as a graduate transfer to aid this program and become a key player in this program as well. That's a look at the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. Don't forget, coming up this week, we have lots of Little League Baseball coverage. We love to follow the local teams, the communities around our area love for us to follow the local teams. They love to tune in. A good, you know, Little League game out of town, you're not going to get outside of immediate family, those that can take off and be there for the games, but they are exciting. We have some local teams that should do very well, and we will have live coverage starting Wednesday at 11 a.m. from the Little League 12-year-old state tournament. That's the main division. The winner goes to the Great Lakes Regional. The winner of that obviously goes on to Williamsport, Pennsylvania for the Little League World Series. That's the Silver Creek Little League team in the 12-year-old division. We'll also have coverage of the 11-year-old state tournament. It's the notch below that. A lot of those kiddos getting ready for that level next year. That tournament taking place at Decatur Little League in Indianapolis. We'll have that for you starting on Thursday evening. So a lot of Little League baseball coming up. We'll support our local teams here in the area on the Big X Sports Radio. I'll head to a commercial break, come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk Zach's travels down south for the recruiting period. We'll talk about where he sees this IU basketball program in the offseason, as far as maybe where he would put IU in his power rankings here in the preseason, the offseason, whatever you want to term it. And we'll talk a little IU football as well, all coming up next here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. As always on this segment, Mondays, we talk IU basketball and a lot more. Going to get to some football a little bit later in this segment as well. But, Zach, you were on the road just like the Division I coaches were, just like Archie Miller and the IU assistants were. You were down south at the Adidas event, I believe, and that means you got the chance to kind of know what the coaches are up to, who they're paying the most attention to, and how some of the key in-state players, in addition to some others from out of state and across the country, did that Indiana is tracking very closely.
Yeah, a lot of Tom Ostrom. He was kind of just posted up in Hoover for the whole weekend, Hoover being the I think this the Adidas Gauntlet Finals were pitched as being in Birmingham. Hoover is a southern suburb of Birmingham with a big sort of basketball sports complex down there. Actually, interestingly enough, for IU fans, next to the baseball stadium, and don't ask me why the 2012 national soccer title was played in the baseball stadium, but that was where Indiana won its last soccer national championship. So you can count that up in places in my life that I never thought I would revisit, but here I was parking in the Hoover Metropolitan Stadium parking lot once again 7 years later. And Indiana elite down there, D1 Minnesota, I think, frankly, maybe one of the best AAU teams I've ever seen, and they didn't even have Dawson Garcia with them. It seems like a lot of coaches spent the first couple of days at Peach Jam, but things got really busy in Hoover the last couple of days. A lot of familiar faces, including Tom Crean's. He was down there with his son Riley watching a number of different prospects. And from Indiana's perspective, kind of a mix of kids that obviously everybody knows about and kids even that maybe have really kind of been hot on the radar recently. And then also just kind of, you know, wondering if you're going to see a few names added to that list as we get into the end of July and August.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us. I know I bring this up, but I think people are interested in it, and I've always had people ask me, what are these big events like? Coaches everywhere, top players everywhere, great facilities. It's really, you know, I know you're there covering IU coaches and covering who the IU coaches are watching and some of the key players specifically from the state of Indiana, all of those things and other things as well. But it's something that you don't mind being there if you're a basketball fan, even if there's not anyone playing of interest to you or there were no Indiana kids or IU targets playing at that time for whatever reason. There are so many good players that these shoe circuits bring together, bring in, and the facilities they use are absolutely top-notch. You could easily find yourself engrossed in a really good basketball game with some really top-level talent, probably no matter what direction you turned and what court you were facing.
Yeah, you know, part of what's interesting to me is the way that it feels like these tournaments, and I think this probably applies across a lot of different sports. You know, this certainly applies in baseball. I think increasingly it applies in football, volleyball, things like that. But, you know, even just when I was, covering recruiting basically as kind of the primary charge in my job for 24/7 sports years ago, you'd go to these events, they'd be held at high schools. They'd be held, you know, I mean, I think the Adidas Invitational was a very popular July event in Indianapolis. It would be held at North Central. You know, North Central had its main gym. It had an auxiliary gym with three courts. You had the gym at Northview Middle School across the street. And then you had West Lane Middle School. You know, some different kind of places you can go. I think there were even kind of some far-flung games out at the Fieldhouse in Fishers. But it felt like stuff like the Fieldhouse in Fishers and Spieth and that, you know, that scene, those were like the ones where you felt like it was a real treat because you could just go from one court to another to another to another. It wasn't constantly sort of having to drive from here to there. And even with Spieth's Run and Slam in May, you still sometimes had to go to the high schools and things. You know, there were some underclassmen games at Spain Park High School in Hoover, but they had 11 courts in that thing. And
amazing.
You could just drift from one to another to another. You had a lot of coaches and media and fans and parents basically splitting courts because, you know, they want to watch what's going on in the court where maybe their son is playing, but they also, hey, here's Dream Vision playing D1 Minnesota over here. There's a ton of high major talent there, guys who are top 5, top 10, top 20, top 30 in the country. And it's fun to kind of have that scene where everything is just right at your fingertips and everything's all in one place. And you really can just go from one great game to another.
Obviously, Indiana Elite and D1 Minnesota, two key Adidas teams year in and year out. They seem to reload. No surprise with Indiana Elite. We know the type of players our state produces. But there's a good connection with Minnesota and that D1 Minnesota program in IU assistant Tom Ostrom, who was actually at that event, probably a reason that he maybe had the lead at the Adidas event because of his connections with the D1 Minnesota program and really that part of the country.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably right, at least in part. And I think between that and the fact that Ostrom is kind of a lead recruiter for guys like Christian Lander and the in-state guys and just, you know, you want that relationship to be really strong. I don't think it was a surprise. It was interesting, and we'll see if more comes out of it. You know, Indiana has offered Dawson Garcia, who's a top 25, top 30 forward on that D1 Minnesota team, but he actually wasn't there this weekend. He was sick. I think someone told me he had mono. So, you know, in one respect, you would have thought, well, maybe Indiana crosses D1 Minnesota off their list, and maybe that maybe they were just watching them because they want to maintain that relationship, keep it strong. But there's a number of other kind of interesting kids on those teams. Kerwin Walton made a ton of threes last weekend, really kind of made himself an impact player over the weekend from behind the arc, and I think he started to pick up some offers. They've got a junior, or I should say a rising junior, a class of 2021 prospect. I believe his name is Kendall Brown, but he's a top 30 forward. I don't have my book right in front of me, or I double-check it. That, I mean, just absolutely looks the part of a high major player. Like, you just sort of, you see him, and you just know he's going to be a guy. And then they got a couple of other bigs. Stephen Crowell, who's got a number of Big Ten offers, and Ben Carlson, who's got several Big Ten offers as well. I don't believe Indiana's offered, but, like, Iowa State's there. Wisconsin, Purdue, Xavier, and he's just like a 6'8 forward with good rebounding sense, good finishing ability, and I think the potential to really be more versatile skills-wise as time goes on And I would not be surprised if not necessarily Indiana, but at least some other high major programs jumped in after the weekend because I thought Carlson played really well. It's just one of those programs when you look at what they've got and also what they've turned out in recent seasons, and Indiana knows that well with Race Thompson on its roster. You want to maintain a strong relationship with a program like that.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star about his travels to the Adidas event in Hoover, Alabama over the weekend with coaches out. Now, we go from that big-time event, of course, the Peach Jam just a couple hours away or less, I believe, the Under Armour event not far away either in Atlanta, to this weekend, instead of being an opportunity for coaches to get out and watch similar events, shoe team events, AAU events with a lot of key players playing with and against each other. The next thing up on the recruiting calendar, this new recruiting calendar, is NCAA Academies, which are events that the NCAA is putting on. There's some really good angles to these academies that the NCAA has promoted. They're going to use D3 and a lot of high school coaches. There, I know a couple guys from New Albany, Isaac Hibbard, a former player at New Albany, Dalton Dietrich, a former manager at New Albany, who's now at Indiana State as a manager, Hibbard at Hanover as a player. They've been selected to work the local camp, will be like counselors and coaches of those camp teams. So it's doing some neat things, but there's a big worry. Are the players that some of these high major programs specifically want to see and need to see, are they even going to accept invitations to this new academy where it's basically camp basketball? You do individual skill work, you're placed on a team, guards and big men kind of split up evenly, and you play games in front of college coaches. There's no continuity, there's no connection between most of these kids unless somehow, some way they have played with each other in another setting perhaps. But we go from a big-time event and a big-time facility with every coach in the country there or every staff represented at some point over the weekend to a lot of unknown the rest of this recruiting period. And I bring this up, Zach. You were on site. You've been around. You know college coaches. They're going to talk off the record to you about what's going on. There were a lot of stories produced from the Peach Jam specifically. I think of the one that Gary Parrish of CBS wrote, where coaches who would not obviously allow their name to be attached with their quotes, but they are very, very down, it seems, on this new recruiting calendar, going from such a great weekend of basketball for them to evaluate to a lot of unknown later this month.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when all this started, I was very much of the opinion that college basketball would just sort of adapt, that it would find a way that worked, and it would go from there. And I still think that may happen. But I think that there's some things that probably are going to need to be reevaluated. You know, you mentioned the lack of, you know, potentially, the lack of really elite players at some of these weekend camps or academy camps. I saw, and I cannot remember for the life of me who it is, and I was racking my brain while you were talking there, a mid or I think a low major head coach. Somebody tweeted, you know, it may have been Frank Martin. I think Frank Martin was pretty outspoken on social media about this. You know, that coaches got good looks at things like the NBA Top 100 camp and things like that. And, you know, that some of this is getting overblown. And that coach, that low major coach, made the point, the NBA Top 100 camp isn't a lot of help for me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, those kids, I'm trying to find kids who aren't looking for elite offers, who aren't among the top 100 in the country. And so I think maybe if there's a way to get everybody to meet in the middle a little bit, because I can see a world where these academies are better for coaches like that, that maybe are looking for some hidden gems, are looking to unearth something unexpected or somebody who's just kind of flying under the radar. But then you can also open up stuff like the top 100 camp for the more, you know, high major, high powered programs. Although I think I also saw Evan Daniels say that he felt like the top 100 camp this year was kind of a little bit sullied by the fact that kids were playing like they knew the coaches were in the stands, and it just wasn't quite what it had been in the past. But then if you talk about finding a way to make those meet, isn't that just AAU basketball when everybody's on the court together and you can just watch them in an unfettered setting, you know, game after game after game, going from one court to the next without any real trouble? I mean, it feels like we've just overthought some of this. And I think that we're going to go through, you know, 10 rounds of God knows what, and just wind up back generally where we were when we started. And I think that, listen, I think there were noble intentions behind a lot of what, you know, has changed in a lot of the broader sort of idea of being, trying to reform college basketball recruiting and sort of work out some of the impurities or some of the problems. I'm all for that. But, like, we've also got to be realistic about some of it. And I don't feel like the new recruiting calendar as it's currently constituted works for as many people, not least, frankly, the players, as it should or as it can. And I hope, just from even a neutral perspective, that it gets reevaluated in the off season, and that maybe we continue to just kind of, you know, sort of tinker with and perfect the process the same way you see with a lot of other rules, you know, across college basketball. Do you want to shorten the shot clock? Do you want to widen the lane? Do you want to lengthen the 3-point line? Let's have the same sort of open-minded attitude toward recruiting calendars and recruiting rules.
I agree. Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays. All right, one more basketball question that I want to touch on football for a second. John Rothstein, CBS Sports, had a slew of Big Ten, you know, way too early type preview stuff earlier today. He had Indiana at 10th out of 14 teams in his offseason power rankings, as he called them. Again, you know, that's one person's opinion. He does follow college basketball very closely and is well connected, but it brought up the thought, we haven't done this for a while, we haven't thought too far ahead for a while about this team for next year. Do you feel 10th is fair? Would you have them higher or lower if Zach Osterman was making a ballot out right now for the Big Ten preseason rankings?
You know, maybe, I saw that too. And I can see the justification for having Indiana that low. I mean, you know, I think if you're Indiana, you can't really – I don't think you can sit there and complain too much, you know, in terms of obviously what you were last season, your struggles last season, and then what you've lost and have to replace. You know, I might have them a little bit higher just on sort of total tonnage of talent, and I'd have to go back and look at where, you know, where John put everybody. Because I kind of glanced at that, but it's funny. I was actually this morning trying to get my Big Ten football predictions together. I predicted Nebraska to win the league. So, you know, if things get really, really weird come fall, don't say I didn't warn you. But, I mean, I certainly wouldn't have them any higher than maybe 7th or 8th. And 10th feels maybe a little bit low just on the total amount of talent and also – you know, frankly, where this program was a year ago and just how much I do genuinely believe this program was affected by, and that season was affected by the injuries that Indiana could not seem to escape or get out from under. But you also can't deny that Indiana's got a lot to replace, that, as I've said many times, teams don't usually get better for losing their top two scorers. And you're still in a situation where there are some glaring questions about this roster, 3-point shooting, you know, guard depth, how it can score consistently. So it's hard for me to argue too much with that. I might have them like 8th or 9th, but then we're just sort of splitting hairs.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Football, for just a moment, you mentioned Nebraska in your preseason poll that you just submitted. So, obviously, there's a lot of unknown with Big Ten football this upcoming year. May I ask where you had Indiana in your preseason look at the conference?
I had Indiana where it seems like I put Indiana every year, which is 5th in the East. You know, it's hard for me to see Indiana. Maybe if everything is optimal, maybe they can pass Michigan State, but That also requires a lot to go wrong for Michigan State that I don't think will. I think Michigan State's going to be very good defensively this year. I just don't know what their offense is going to look like. And you still have to play Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, Nebraska, or Penn State. You do have to play Nebraska this year. And I do think Nebraska is going to be very improved. I think Adrian Martinez is a very good player. I think Scott Frost is a very good coach. I think the West is wide open. I mean, I could absolutely see Wisconsin, Nebraska, I don't remember exactly what Purdue's schedule lays out like, but I could even see Purdue or maybe even somebody totally unknown like Minnesota popping up and making a real run at the West. And I think we can have a wider discussion about why that's probably not very healthy for the Big Ten, that it feels like you can't, that however many years in, all of your power is centralized in the East Division, and you can't seem to develop any sort of stable hierarchy in the West to kind of counter it or balance it. But I think Michigan will win the East. I could see Ohio State winning the East. I think Penn State's probably going to have the best defense in the league, but they just have so much to replace offensively. And I look at what Michigan has coming back. I look at the fact that Ohio State's probably going to have a first-time starting quarterback, a first-year head coach. I could see Ohio State winning the East, but I would just lean toward the team that's got the most experience returning, and that's Michigan. But I could also just see a world where Scott Frost springs something unexpected on Big Ten title game weekend. And I think Indiana can. I think Indiana should finish ahead of Rutgers, and I think there's a very realistic world where Indiana finishes ahead of Maryland, and at least in Mike Locksley's first season. But it's hard for me to imagine Indiana finishing any further up the division than that.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach, I would love to know, and if people listen on a regular basis, they'll know what we're talking about. If not, they're going to be lost. But I would love to know, during your trip to the South, and I think you may be traveling back right now, and if so, I wish you a safe trip. But I would love to know how many lunches or dinners or snacks you had at the local Publix in Hoover, Alabama.
I had one Publix sub for each of my 4 days in the South. I think I also grabbed a salad at Publix one of the days I was there because I knew I was going to be getting back to my room late and just working through the night. But there was a Publix about halfway between the gym and my hotel, and I knocked back 4 in 4 days, which is, even for me is something of a record.
Good stuff. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Have a safe trip back in. And as always, we appreciate all the stuff today. Covered a lot of ground. We look forward to this each Monday.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
All right. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director and IHSAA executive board member, and with us Mondays to talk a lot of basketball, a lot of Southern Indiana sports headlines, and more here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Final segment means Chad Gilbert is with us. Chad is the Charlestown Athletic Director, also an IHSAA Executive Board member, and he's with us Mondays to talk a lot of basketball and Southern Indiana sports as well. And, Chad, I know that we want to start this segment. We've missed you for a couple of weeks for various reasons, but welcome back. I know we want to start this segment with some conversation and a mention of a person who was a great friend and great supporter and great mentor to both of us, Mr. Gene Coomer, who died on the 4th of July and was buried earlier last week. A great friend to the Jeffersonville community, a great friend to the Big X over the years, and just, Chad, one of the great ones that you hate to see guys of his stature go. He was somebody that you always could look forward to seeing at the games and always had some kind words to say.
Matt, before we get talking about Mr. Coomer, it feels great to be back for a two-week hiatus. I've got 15 minutes of airtime today. What am I going to do with 15 minutes of airtime, Matt? This is a remarkable July Monday. I love it. My wife is going to be happy. My friends are going to be happy. 15 minutes of airtime. My text is blowing up right now, so it's unbelievable. But getting back on Zach a little bit on Publix, if Zach is not getting a red velvet bar cake, a pecan ring, cherry pastries, or those deli sandwiches better have boar's head lunch meat on there. He is extremely missing the boat. I don't know if we'll be able to follow with what he says if he's not doing these things down there, because one goes with the other. You got to know good food to know good talent.
I'm missing out. I think I've been to some Publix before when I've been down south or out of town, but I sure don't recall what all the things that you and Zach have mentioned. So I'm going to have to maybe make a trip just to do so. I mean, you've got my mouth watering over here, Chad.
You're talking to somebody who's 286 pounds, Matt, so I know what good food is. But going back to Mr. Coomer, Matt, you said it. It's just a sad, sad day for not just Jeffersonville athletics, Jeffersonville basketball, but Southern Indiana in general. And I got to stop by the funeral home and the program they made for Mr. Coomer. It's amazing all the stuff he did, what he gave to Greater Clark County Schools over his life. You know, a lifelong educator. He was the principal at McCullough. I think in the program it said he'd given 40-some years to Greater Clark. And that's just – they don't make guys like that anymore. And that's one thing, Matt, that all the programs, not just Southern Indiana, throughout the state, if you want to have a special program, you've got to have the Gene Coomers, the Teddy Throckmortons, the Pat Hennigans, the people that are fans who care about the program year in and year out, not just the fans who are there while their son's there, while their daughter's there, while their aunts or uncle's there, the ones that year in, year out, you can guarantee you're going to see every time you go into those gyms. And I think in order to win state championships, those things are non-negotiables. You've got to have talent. You've got to have them coached up. But you've got to have guys like that who are behind the scenes who make playing for certain programs special. And I think Jeffersonville has had many, many of those throughout the years that have done that. But in the last, you know, 6-7 years, many of those have passed away. So I think it's extremely important for those guys over there to find people to replace those guys. You know, and you're never going to be able to replace them. But find guys who can perform those roles, who make it special. And, you know, you think of Mr. Coomer all the times that he was with – you think of him and Teddy going side by side everywhere with the stats, with the recall, and both of those guys never missed a face, never missed a name, and would always go out of their way to make not only adults feel special, but most importantly, kids feel special. And I think that's something that you can't say enough about Mr. Coomer and what he brought, not just to athletics, but to Greater Clark County school system.
Yeah, you know, we've had some sad moments here at the radio station. I was talking a couple weeks ago with Dugan Ryan about, you know, Mr. Throckmorton, Teddy Throckmorton passing away. And there was no bigger fan of sports at Jeff and sports in the area and of this radio station and its role in the local communities as well as Teddy. And, you know, how many times a week the guy would stop in here to share a joke, to get on you about something, to tell you, to write you a letter. Maybe he had seen you two or three times that week, but he'd still write you a letter to tell you what how proud he was of this or that or a good job you had done. Just a special individual. And you hit the nail on the head. They don't make guys like that anymore. So when Teddy Throckmorton leaves us or Gene Coomer is no longer with us, you really think about the tradition, the history of some of our local programs and other people like that over the years that have stepped up that may at another school that may no longer be with us either. But special guy, special friendship. I really enjoyed our conversations over the years, our lunches together over the years, and I know that I can say on behalf of Jeffersonville and you and many others, boy, Chad, we will miss Gene, that's for sure.
Oh, with no question. And, Matt, you know, quick story since we got a little extra time on those guys. You almost think, have you ever watched, like, those old Frank Sinatras, you know, with the Rat Pack and all those guys in there? It was kind of like those guys kind of had that specialty to them. You know, they always dressed nice. They always, you know, when they came in, it's like the record stopped. You knew that those guys were coming into your place. And one quick story on, and Teddy was kind of, he was kind of the front man on these guys. And that didn't mean Mr. Coomer or anyone else was any less important because he was very, very, very important to Jeffersonville Athletics. But going up front, you know, I can remember 27 years old, coming out of college, you know, I'd been teaching at Perry Central for a couple of years. I'd been at River Valley and Parkview for a couple of years. I was dying to get a coaching job, Matt, dying to get a coaching job. Just couldn't break that, you know, barrier to get in. It was kind of like, and I get where young people are frustrated now, or have been frustrated. Young people aren't going into teaching anymore, which is sad, Matt, and that's a whole different discussion. But, you know, I was coming in, and I wanted to get that job. Well, I'd come back, you know, didn't get a job. I'd follow up and say, hey, what can I do to be better? You know, the one thing is you got to get some experience. So in my mind, I'm thinking, how am I ever going to get any head coaching experience if I can't become a head coach? Well, anyway, long story short, Jeffersonville girls basketball job opens up. Get an opportunity to get involved with it. Well, as it goes on, as the story goes, I asked Teddy, I said, Teddy, you know, any help you could give me, I'd really appreciate it. And we're talking legends now. You know, you talk about Teddy. We're talking Gene Coomer. Ralph Scales was the AD. You want to talk about a legend. Ralph Scales is an athletic director, legend, one of the best there's ever been. He's the AD at the time. Teddy calls Ralph and says, hey, you know, I'm looking for a football. At that time, Jeffersonville hired a football coach, a basketball coach, and a girls' basketball coach all in 2 months. And he said, I'm just following up to see who was the football coach, who you're an Howard football coach. He tells him, you know, we're going with a guy from Fort Wayne, Steve Cooley, who's now the coach at New Albany. And he says, well, while I got you on the phone, I'd like to ask you if you could I'd like to tell you I'm supporting Chad Gilbert and calling on behalf of him for the girls' basketball job at Jeffersonville High School. And Ralph, you know, Ralph didn't know me from the man to moon. I knew Greg growing up. We played it there, but he didn't know me personally other than working some football games for him. And he said, you know, he laughs on the phone. And he says, well, that's funny you say that, Teddy. He said, I just got off the phone with Pat Summit recommending so-and-so for the job. Teddy comes back with this. I don't know what's funny about it. Next time you need a new bus, have Pat Summit buy it for you. And that just kind of shows the strength that these guys had down there. And in Ralph Scales fashion, Ralph Scales just laughed. You know, that had nothing to do with that. Teddy's support, you know, I'm sure helped me and able to get that job. The rest of that's history. But that didn't have anything to do with Ralph Scales' decision on the deal. Ralph Scales was a strong man who always did what was best for Jeff Athletics. But that was the kind of stuff that made Teddy and those guys special. And that's what makes programs like that special. And I think it's awfully important to find someone to put in those positions if you want to compete for state championships.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And, again, a final word, our thoughts and prayers to the family of Gene Coomer, a great friend of all of us here in the sports and even the Big X here at the station as well. Moving on, Chad, we've talked a lot about recruiting this month. The coaches coming off the road, there's a lot of uncertainty about what's scheduled and what's open for them later this month, as Zach and I were talking about in the last segment. And there's all sorts of things that happen during these recruiting periods. Scholarship offers go out. You're able to see, like with Indiana, who they're watching close and where the coaches are at and what assistant coach is here. And it just, if you're really a diehard fan, and most people in our state are diehard fans of something in the basketball realm, whether it be Indiana, Purdue, even in our way, we've got lots of Louisville and Kentucky fans, and that's great. It makes our area special. But one thing that I don't want to lose sight of this month is some local happenings. And earlier in the month, after the high school period at the end of June, we had a lot of scholarship offers go out to local players, which is really exciting for me to see local kids get, especially those Division I offers. And I tell you, Jeffersonville, we knew Trey Coleman. We know he's going to play Division I basketball. He's had a number of offers even over the last couple weeks, and there have been some additional ones come in since we've talked about him last. Jacob Jones, who is a really great point guard, quick, speedy point guard for Jeff, he now holds a Division I offer from Wisconsin Green Bay. So you think, gosh, two players, two key seniors, one a guard, one a big man, D1 interest, D1 offers, that's great stuff for Jeff, who we know is going to be good next year. We know that. Now, yesterday, Will Lovings-Watts, who I've talked a lot about as a freshman and think the world of him as a player, he, as a sophomore-to-be, gets his first Division I scholarship offer from Bradley yesterday, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to be the first of many offers over the course of his high school career that will come in. So, Jeffersonville right now, you want to talk about a loaded roster, a good team, a good program that's trying to continue on and make some noise here in the area. You've also got to look at things from a talent perspective and a college perspective down the road. They have all sorts of college talent at the Division I level right now circulating through that program.
Well, you think about, this is no surprise to you and I. You know, they were our pick to win the sectional last year when we talked on the radio. They've got now three Division I players on that roster, three out of five starters, Division I. I'm not sure Lovings-Watts started last year, but three of the top three Division I players on that roster. That you're thinking back in the early 90s, mid 90s, when Jeffersonville would have 5-6 Division I players, New Albany 5-6 Division I players, three Division I players now on one team, that definitely means you're a state contender. And when you talk about Will Lovings Watts, you know, his best basketball is ahead of him. And, you know, to me on those guys, Coleman is outstanding. Jacob Jones is kind of the straw that stirs the drink down there. I think he kind of gets everybody going. And then you got Lovings Watts, who can do so many, many things. But he did not sneak up on the scene. You know, when you watched him play at Bridgepoint when he was in third, fourth, and fifth grade, you knew that kid's going to be special. And watching him play a little bit last year, seemed like he kind of played on the interior, you know, doing what he has to do to make the team win. He has guard skills. He can get the ball off the board and go with it. And I think he's probably showing some of those now on this circuit and getting a little bit more out there. And I think there are going to be many, many more opportunities for that young man to advance and play at a high level. Because, you know, if you think of his game, Matt, you've been around long enough, kind of his game kind of reminds me of an Antonio Ballard-type game. You know, Antonio, who had a great career at Miami of Ohio, is still playing professionally overseas. He and Will have some of the same tendencies, some of the same build. An Indiana All-Star, Antonio Ballard was, and who was on the team that lost two games that year, first game to Bloomington South, last game to Bloomington South. So that just tells you what a player of that magnitude can do to a program. And what's so scary about it, Matt, is Will Lovings Watts is only a sophomore. So there's great talent down there. There's great talent in Southern Indiana right now, and there's lots of mini battles, and you're going to see lots of college coaches come in our area. And you think about, I mean, Lovings Watts is going to be a sophomore. You think about that going to be junior class, how loaded it is in our little beltway between here and Evansville. There's some great basketball to be played over the next several years.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, he's Charlestown's athletic director, also an IHSAA executive board member. Missed you there for a couple weeks. Glad to have you back with us today. And as always, look forward to starting our week, our Monday, each week on the show with Chad Gilbert for 12, 14 minutes. Sometime you get 15. That must be a slow day, Chad.
My wife times it. She says 8. She asked if you were mad at me. She said, you only get 8 minutes on the radio now. And I said, he's not mad. One shout out, I give my wife happy anniversary, 7 years. Hard to believe. I love her very much. She blessed me with two great kids, and she puts up with me. So that's something, you know, she's a very special person, Matt.
Happy anniversary, Chad and Amy. Chad, thanks for being with us. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Thank you. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday program. Thank you for being with us today. We're back Tuesday with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, and also Mike Pegram of the Pegs.com IU website. We'll talk with you then. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on the Big X Sports Radio.